Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yes, under. Tiger Woods, under 72.5. Go under.
What about Spieth, 69.5? Well, if these scores are going to be as low as...
Yeah. Well, it depends on how much the wind kicks up in the afternoon. These guys are all afternoon guys. So it was
Rom, Fitzpatrick, and Spieth, all 69.5, and under is...
You should have gone under Cam Young is who you should have done.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Tiger Woods, minus 155 over 72.5, but you got to pay 1.5 times your odds for Tiger.
I like the under.
You still do?
I like the under.
Didn't somebody say he hit a 63 out there?
Yeah.
Can you tell me that?
Yeah.
Was that at that course?
Justin Thomas said he shot a 63 in a practice.
Course?
I don't know if it was that course.
Oh.
In a practice round out there. So
was it at Nottingham at the... Was it at Nottingham where the Frisbee golf course is? Is that where he shot a 63?
They don't have Frisbee courses in England, okay?
How about this?
Does this
interest you? Here's Tiger Woods where we currently stand. I'm looking at a wager. First round, Woods, Matthew Fitzpatrick minus 110, Max Homa, the homie Max Homa, plus 190, Tiger Woods plus 270.
Max Homa is playing with Tiger, and he's very excited about it.
Max and Tiger and Matthew Fitzpatrick
right.
is the threesome there.
Right.
Fitzpatrick is a small favorite. -110.
Matthew Fitzpatrick just won the U.S. Open, so there's a reason for that. Matthew Fitzpatrick's playing really, really well. Matthew Fitzpatrick is from there.
So he'll crush Tiger Woods.
Yeah, he should.
Oh, Matthew Fitzpatrick is from there.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's like his Wildcat. Like your Wildcat would be
well,
his.
I don't know if St. Andrews has ever been called someone's Wildcat, but okay.
Is it a link style course?
It is.
Okay.
And yeah.
Thank you.
No. I don't know that it's been called that before, but okay. Yeah. It's my Wildcat. Yeah. Okay. I got you.
By the way, are you getting a bunch of texts? I keep getting a bunch of text messages now with hi. It starts off hi. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be a Chinese troll. I already know this. Eventually, it's going to be I'm in Singapore or whatever. Well, no, that's actually not the deal. The way that they do it now. Here, let me see the latest one. Here's one I got last night from a 479 area code. Doesn't matter. So it just says, hi.
Mm-hmm.
See that?
I don't get any texts. I get a lot of calls.
Yeah, I get called. But no, I've been getting a lot of texts. Hi. And I just said, sup. And they said, I'm Gwen from yesterday's party. Do you remember me? Phil, and I didn't say anything. Is it Phil, comma, what are you doing, question mark? And I said, I do remember you. What a night. I'm working on TPS reports. Lumberg, am I right? And then they didn't respond back. I should probably stop doing this because I think it keeps me in a list of people to
yes,
try to,
I think there's a reason.
Try to fish, you know, because... fishing, P-H-I-S-H. They try to get, I did one the other day. I did one
Lumberg,
the other day
right?
about... They continue to like, I am with a milk factory or something, and we have a big meeting today. Did you forget or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll try to
find
that
one.
Well,
I get these that, oh, look, you forgot to pay your bill. Hurry up and you know, on here.
Oh, yeah, don't do that. Yeah. I also got this one, too. Somebody sent me a PayPal invoice, like, here, pay this $347. I'm like.
Yeah, right.
Here's your $347, tricky loser.
Yeah, right.
I'm not falling for
I get those
your...
all the time.
Oh, and here's one I got.
I don't get one. Hi. Do you remember last night?
See this one? Here's a different one. Hi. And I said, what do you want? Because I already know. And they said, are you Bella? Will I be at your office on Thursday at 3 p.m. to discuss wholesale fresh milk?
Yes.
And I said, I don't know. Will you? And they said, how could you not be Bella? I'm Emma, Swenson's marketing director. I said, let me call you real quick so we can clear this up. Is that okay? No. I say, did you speak with Sugon? S-U-G-G-O-N. Because I was praying they'd say, who is Sugon? I'd say, Sugon D's nuts is what I was going to do. I was like praying, please say who's Sugon. They said, I think I entered the wrong number. This is so embarrassing to me.
I just got one that said hi.
See? Here it comes.
I got to say hi.
You got to say hi. I said, I'm sorry about it. They said, I'm sorry about that.
Just right now.
Are you serious?
Yes, just right now.
I'm sorry about that, and thank you for reminding me in time. I said, I'm kidding. It's me, Bella. Sugon said you would call. And they said, I made a typo. And I said, I'm curious how this was supposed to play out. I'm guessing you guys text a random number and pretend to be someone who has an important meeting, and you hope that the respondent pretends to be someone they are not. Once that happens, you guys try and find a way to involve them, but they must give you money before you give them, quote unquote, lots of money. Is that the basic con? And then they didn't.
I got one here. You have a package that needs to be delivered but has been suspended due to an unrecognized delivery address. Click that.
And put your credit card in so they can deliver it.
Right. 807 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike Gundy. Do you have Mike Gundy sound?
By the way, Sugon is
you
the new
Mike
one.
You got Mike Gundy sound. Don't
you know, D's is not working in anymore. D's gets people. But if you say Sugon, S-U-G-G-O-N,
yeah,
that's the new way you might have a chance to trick somebody. They won't see it coming with Sugon.
Yeah.
If you say, did you end up talking to Sugon? You can get.
Sugon who?
Yeah.
Sugon D's.
Sugon. Yeah, Sugon D's. That's here's a new one. I just got one too. Hi.
I know. Right now.
From a 281 area code.
I think it might be somebody. And this is from 346.
346 is a local number.
No, it is?
It's a new local number.
Oh, then it's watch somebody this. Messing with us.
Yeah, watch this. I will. Seriously, you better text who this is or I'll block this number in the next 10 seconds.
No, I'm going to say.
10?
I'm going to say hi.
9. 8, 7.
This is Sugon.
Ask who Sugon is.
Who's Sugon?
This is not Jessica.
Who's Sugon?
All right, now I got a report junk.
Oh, that is
delete
funny.
And report
346
junk.
Is a number here now?
Yeah.
It is?
Yep.
That's
it's a new one. And here's the thing. 346s don't get as much spam calls. I just literally reported that number as junk. So now it's
oh, you bad. Did?
Yeah.
Don't do that. It's somebody you know.
Well, I guess they
or
should have
somebody
about that
has your number. That's I don't know who this is. All I know is they have my number, which
they
is
said it was Jessica. Who's a Jessica who has my numbers listening to the show?
Jessica.
No, it's not. I'll just delete that.
Who is Gundy? Gundy is the head coach of Oklahoma State. He's uncomfortable, and he might be right. Why are Oklahoma and Texas in the Big 12 meetings? That's what he asks.
Well, the future in Bedlam is a year or two left. I mean, that's the future of Bedlam, based on somebody else's decision. Recruiting for us hasn't really changed a lot. You know, it's interesting with young people now. I'm not sure. You might be able to take a poll of the top 250, 300 recruits in the country and ask them if they know, for example, you could throw out what conference is Purdue in or what conference is Wake Forest in. And I would say there's about a 50% chance they might not even know what the conference is. Young people live in certain worlds today, and essentially they want to know what you as a university and athletic department, as a football team and a coach, can do for them. That's what they're interested in. So other than that, our recruiting hasn't really changed since the conference realignment.
I think it's
there is something to that, I bet.
No, and he didn't talk too much about Oklahoma and Texas, obviously.
No, that was a different song.
Yeah, it is a little weird, but I think that, you know, it is very much true when you talk to people who are in it. They just, if you could throw a giant sack of cash on their lawn and just drive away, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's the recruiting. Just, there we go. Yeah. And, this is heavy. Oh,
wow. Well, like, who gave me this? Oh, it says Oklahoma State
on
cool.
the bag. Yeah. Oh, thanks. Cool. Let me take a picture of it and I'll do a TikTok dance with it. But it is true that I think there is, because I think influencers, one of the things, having a son who just turned 18, that generation is seeing the influencer model is, look at this lifestyle, and everyone can have this lifestyle because look at all the YouTubers and influencers who have it, and that's what everyone aspires to now is super fast cash as quickly as possible. Like, there is no real ladder to it. You just have to become an influencer. You have to do something famous, have a channel that's famous enough where you can get endorsements, whatever the case may be. And so I think that a lot of these athletes, because of NIL, and what Gundy said is accurate when you talk to people who are in college football. It is just about, what are you going to do for me? They don't really care about the school that much, a lot of players. But at some point when they grow up and they get older, and there's going to be a reckoning for just the average player who doesn't make it in the NFL, and they're going to say, I wish they're going to have missed elements of their elements of maybe some of the camaraderie aspect, maybe some of the having a home, which would have been your university. There's going to be some elements like I've just kind of a I consider myself like a sports vagabond, right? I don't. My dad was a coach. My favorite team was always wherever he coached, which was U of H for the longest time, yeah. Right? Until I was a junior in high school. And then he went to Tulane. He went to LSU. He went to University of Cincinnati, Cleveland Browns, Buffalo Bills, Pittsburgh Steelers, Arizona Cardinals, right? So I've been kind of a vagabond in that sense. I went to Tulane. Then I went to U of H. I started a handicapping business. So I've always, when I was 24, so I was always, you know, my favorite team was whoever I had action on. Now, my Houston teams are my favorite teams. Mm-hmm. Texans, Rockets. I had a good conversation with Mark Vandermeer yesterday. First time in a long time. And we talked a lot about, you know, I was telling him that I was doing things to try to help Rick Smith when it came to Deshaun Watson come draft time. I sent information to Rick that I thought would help him, and he used it, and he thanked me for it. Not until after the draft, but that's when I realized, okay, I sent stuff to Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien and I would text back and forth. I talked
good
to Brian
buddies.
Gaines.
You two are good buddies.
We had a good understanding. I was trying to help. I want the local team to do well. I don't share stuff I'm not supposed to share with sources I have around the league, but I do want the local team to do well. I always do. Rockets, Astros, it's better for us. It's not good. But there have been a lot of sports talk hosts in Houston who have not been from Houston. And let me promise you, they mostly like when the local teams lose because that schadenfreude allows.
That's dumb.
And it's stupid because here's the problem. During their time in Houston, it's been people would get mad and they'd make phone calls in and all that. Now what happens is no one cares. And ultimately, when your team doesn't matter, no one cares. And that's not good for business
no,
for anyone.
Not for us.
It's not good for business for anyone. But I do, you know, I do miss the fact that I don't have like there's not one team where I live and die with the team. I don't live and die with anybody other than I don't live and die with the Texans right now. I do when the Astros hit the playoffs. I do with the Rockets when they're in the playoffs. It hurts still when they lose. But I don't have a live and die college team. I don't. And I think it's really cool. People who went to USC, people went to A&M, Texas, LSU or whatever. Every year when football season rolls around or when basketball's going on or in college baseball or whatever, man, they live and die with it. I've never really, like, I don't really have that. I've never had that since my dad left U of H. It's never, as a football coach, I haven't, you know, I don't have that. Mm-hmm. And I wonder sometime if these players who don't, you know, who just want the bag and they want everything they can get, are they going to be as connected to the university? Remember, look at University of Texas. We used to joke about it, but it was a real thing where every guy who went to Texas,
funny though,
Roy Williams still doing hook 'em horns in pros years later.
Well, yeah.
Like they all go back
That's
to
That's different
Austin.
Because it's football and you got to stay 3 years. There's a lot of basketball players that are one and dones that do still have ties, like Kentucky guys or Kansas guys.
Because they're really good.
They're really good, but
Their teams
Kevin
are really
Durant
good.
Kevin Durant was what? Well, I mean, he was there for a year.
Yeah, kind of.
And he's still a Longhorn. I mean,
when they're good.
You still have those attachments. Now, the portal changes things. The portal changes a lot with how much movement there is because now you have multiple teams. But the last one you're at, maybe, I don't know. I have no idea. I do know that it's weird right now in the Big 12. And Gundy said, hey, it is what it is, but it's weird. They shouldn't be part of our meetings. They're going to be out of here.
It's true.
And they're going to take this stuff that they're finding out about us with them to the SEC.
Well, I don't think that's a real.
Well, that's what he said.
Hey, Gundy, there's no trade secrets leaving the Big 12 like the SEC. Hurry, Texas. What did they say at the Big 12? What did Iowa State? What was Iowa State saying to Oklahoma State?
Well, how about plans for expansion
no
or
one
whatever?
Cares. SEC doesn't care about any of your stuff. Let's be real. You know SEC, John.
Yeah, right.
SEC doesn't care what you're doing. They think what you're doing is trash. But with that said, if you knew there was somebody who was retiring at the end of the year from a business and they were going to be out,
yeah.
Would you want them?
No, they wouldn't be in your
They
meetings.
Don't need to be in the meeting. It's hey, listen, it's nothing personal. Just you don't need to be here.
Right,
you're leaving at the end of the year.
8:16 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yesterday, I had a big day. As a matter of fact, I was with the the guy who's the marketing director for Coors here on in East Texas. And I got, we had so much fun. You know what we did? You know what we did? What do you know what we did with the Coors guy yesterday?
What?
Coors Light guy? Drank Coors Light.
Well, yeah, it was the favorite.
Yeah.
Not you're going to say you dunked them in water.
No. We
played golf.
And
now HR had to come in and step in. Okay.
He played well at the end and had a,
did you say anything?
Had a great time.
Did they hear your last segment? Did they hear your segment with Gilbert?
They did
HR
not.
HR&P?
HR&P did not hear that that I know of. Maybe Chris did. I don't know. Maybe Mike did. I don't know.
They didn't say anything on the course.
They didn't say. Well, they weren't with us, HR&P. It was Coors Light. So we had a wonderful time, and we drank Coors Light. And it's just, I didn't need the Coors Light guy there to drink Coors Light because I would have done that on my own. But it was.
You weren't just showing off?
No, I wasn't. No, I was actually, it was just Wednesday. That's what it was. And so that was just good, clean fun for the whole family yesterday. And we had just a great time. And here's what you do. When you're out there and it's 1,000 degrees and you got to keep Texas chill, you grab a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. I was so refreshed yesterday. Had just the best time. I'm telling you, if you're looking for the best time and you want to be refreshed while you're playing golf, you want to be refreshed while you're playing poker, you want to be refreshed while you're not doing those things or anything that you're doing, then get a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
This is ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right here on ESPN. I'm looking at a story right here, exploring the Texans wide receiver situation ahead of training camp. What do you expect out of Brandon Cooks? 1,000 yards?
Yeah, I would say so.
1,000 yards.
I think that's a fair number.
Okay.
I think there are some. Do you have those odds? I think some odds came out yesterday on receiver totals.
Receiver totals yesterday, really?
Do you have them?
I do not have them. What do you expect?
Yeah.
You got them?
I think I do have them. Let's see. A.J. Brown, Adam Lazard. Brandon Cooks. I got his numbers right here.
Okay. It's, what is it?
His number of yards is 950 and a half. His amount of, what do you think? You going over?
I am going. Yes, of course I'm
going
over. What do you know?
What about
this? I have him right here too. Josh Barton.
That's right. How do you like those catches? 84 and a half catches for Brandon Cooks.
That seems
a little high to me.
That seems like a lot.
I think he's closer to 79 to 83. I think it's a good number, but I would probably go under there. I'd go over in yards. And his touchdowns, 5.5. You know, I think you have to look at how many touchdowns do you think Davis Mills is going to have. And if I think he's going to have over 20, then who catches his touchdowns? Well, his tight ends will get, I think, 5 at the most. So that would be another, let's just say, 15 touchdowns. Nico Collins. Who has more touchdowns this year, Nico Collins or Brandon Cooks? I know you're going to say Brandon Cooks, and Brandon Cooks feels like the right answer, but Nico's a big ball winner, you know, down in the red zone, and he's pretty good. He's pretty got good, strong hands. He's got size.
I remember him hitting.
And the over-under is only 5.5 touchdowns for Brandon Cooks.
Only 5.5?
Yeah.
I see more than that. I'm going to go over that. I think he's got 7 or 8 in him. Nico, are you convinced that Nico is going to? I'm not convinced he's going to catch more touchdown passes than Brandon Cooks.
Well, he'd be the underdog, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think it would be worth, you know. Yeah, I think there's a chance he could have more. Nico Collins did not play football in 2020. He was a sophomore at Michigan, and then he opted out his junior year, and then came into the pros. He only played college football for 2 years. He didn't play 2020. He did play last year for the Houston Texans. He's 6'4", 215 pounds, with arms that are like an offensive tackle's
what
arms.
Do you have his
They don't have that.
What do you have it at?
I think Nico Collins.
What's a successful year for Nico Collins?
Like, I'll go off the top of my head, but I'd probably need to look at what the standards are in the NFL. But I would say I think you want I think he went over 700. I think he went over 750 wow. yards.
So over 1,000 for Cooks, over 700 there. What about Mechie? Is he going to – you got any expectations for Mechie?
No. I need to know how the knee's doing. I don't – I want to know if he's going to miss the first – you know, if he starts on the PUP list or not. Jameson Williams is considered to be a PUP list starter so, for the season. Okay, so why is Mechie not?
So if you got 700 for Nico, you've got 1,000. That's 1,700. We expect Davis Mills to throw for
3,000.
3,000. You got another 1,300 yards out there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, running wide receivers, Chris Conley, running back. There's going to be a lot of catch and run stuff from Rex Burkhead. Chris Conley's your third wide receiver. There's Rex Burkhead. You'll have some tight end stuff, not a ton, but Marlon Mack can catch and run a little bit. Maybe 750. I mean, 750 still feels like a relatively decent number. If you played all, of course, you have one more game, but if you divide it by 17 games, that's 44 yards a game. It seems low, but when you look at the yards per game for wide receivers from a daily wager standpoint, when the games jump off, that's not crazy to see Especially Nico Collins at 44 for a lower scoring team. And they're going to run the ball a lot more, too. Or they want to. They want to run it. They yeah. want to run it, and they want to run it successfully. Here's what Nico Collins did last year. See what you. Here are his games. Starting 1 for 7, 1 for 32, 4 for 44, 2 for 28, 4 for 55. Look, the most catches he had in a game was 5. His best game of the year was 5 catches for 69 yards against the Seahawks in Week 14. And in Week 18, which is the last game, he had 3 catches for 67 yards. Last year, he only had 1 touchdown catch all year long, and that was against the Chargers. But, like I said, in his last 5 games, 5 for 69, 2 for 14, 3 for 33, 2 for 35, 3 for 67.
Yeah, I don't...
Those aren't... Seven, I don't think I I'm think crazy.
700 is a big number for him.
You think it's a big number?
Yeah.
Last year, he had 446 yards. I'm only asking him to get 250 more yards. Well, 750, I'm asking him to get 300 more
300
yards.
300 more
yards. That would be a lot. His receptions last year, he only played 14 games. 60%, and only started,
that's 70% more.
He started 8 games, and he played in 14 games. So if you projected him at 17 games, and he started all 17, you don't think that he could get to 60 catches?
It just seems like a lot. I don't know.
I mean, he had 33 catches. You don't think he could double it if he started twice as many games?
Yeah. No. I think okay. he could take a big jump. But...
And he averaged 13.5 yards a catch. This is 60 catches plus 13.5 yards a catch.
810.
810 yards. It's not that crazy. 750 yards is not that crazy.
No, I've got to know that he is somebody that they do want to focus on.
Well, there's no choice. He's the number two. Like, it's his second right. year. He's only played 3 years of football total of pro and college. He had an opt-out COVID year that he took as a junior and came right into the pros. So he was coming off a year where he hadn't even played football. And before that, he'd only played 2 years of football at Michigan, no less, where they're not exactly flinging the ball around.
No. And didn't have anybody to really get him the ball.
But you know what? I want to take that back. I think Nico Collins actually may have played 3 years because Nico was at Senior Bowl, from what I remember, which means he had to have graduated. And he was not super impressive at Senior Bowl, if I remember correctly. But I thought he was. But what he is he's a downfield. Like, Nico Collins is going to be a big receiver who averages over 15 yards a catch. That's who he's going to be. He likes to get down the field where his speed picks up. He ran in a 4.4s. He's got speed, but it's build-up speed. It's not short area quickness. He needs to get downhill and be a big guy with some speed who causes corners problems.
If I remember correctly, most of the deep balls were Brandon Cook's way.
Yeah, but this is his second year. Like, it's time for him to get better, and Davis Mills will get better, and Davis Mills will start to have more confidence.
Right,
in Nico.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks was his whoopee last year.
Yeah,
and so maybe he splits it up.
Yeah, I was wrong. Nico Collins played 3 years of college football. That's right. So he played 3 years of college football. He played 2 games his freshman year, and then he played 13 and 12 his sophomore junior year. But you know, catches. He only had 78 total catches in college football in 3 years. That's not great. His total touchdowns, 13. He had one last year. He's still very much, I would say, an ascending player, but he's still a developmental player, too. It's not like this guy has tremendous, but he averaged 17.8 yards a catch in college. So he is a player who can get downhill and make some plays. I wouldn't sleep on Nico Collins taking a big jump this year, because when you look at when he started last year, it kind of coincides with when Davis Mills started. And Davis Mills and him came in the same draft class. There may be a little bromance there between the two. They may be kind of bro-y at some point.
And
Brandon's the older guy.
But that's the guy that he really relied on his rookie year.
And well, I think Brandon gets 1,000.
But
I also think Nico Collins, I mean, listen, if I think Nico Collins can get to 800 yards, then all of a sudden, yeah, I do think that 3,000 yards is probably low for Davis Mills.
Probably.
He threw, what, 2,600 last year, and he wasn't even a full-time starter.
No, right. He improved greatly over the last five
games. Do you think he will average 200 yards a game passing? It's probably a little more than you think it is. But do you think he'll average 200 yards a game passing? That would put
that's 3,400 yards.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds about – I think Davis Mills' number should be probably 3,300 yards passing for the year.
Yeah. And that's under 200 yards a game. Yeah. Yeah. No, I can – absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going over on Davis Mills, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's the smart play, though. As much as the Texans say they want to run a football, I think there is a chance with the improvements on the offensive line, the improvements in the running back class, everybody being a year older, Nico Collins with his second year in the under his belt.
I think you're sleeping on Mechie.
I hope Mechie. I just want to see how quick Mechie gets back. I think Mechie's solid. I think Mechie will be a good slot receiver for the Texans.
He'll have over 400 yards.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
That'd be good. He can get over 400 even if he starts on pup list.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and he may not have to start on pup list.
Apparently, no. But indications are that he's not going to start on pup list.
His injury was June, and August is the eighth month, and it usually takes, I mean, maybe 7 to 8 months, but he's got a cut off of it. We'll see. The Texans are going to be a lot better offensively than they were last year. They really are. Like, I think the Texans are going to be more people who said, I got my Sundays to do whatever I want now. I think you're going to get drawn back in a little bit. I'm not sure that the wins are going to be higher than 6, but I think you're going to get drawn back into the Texans a little bit more this year.
All right, 713-780-3776. You've got thoughts on any of that? You're more than welcome to get in here with us. 713-780-3776 is the number. Right now, though, that's no jab at that's no jab at the defense, Lance.
SiteJab is a company who punches up your website. SiteJab's been doing this for 24 years. Hector Garcia and his crew, and they've had some turnover over the years, but he's got a group with him that's been with him for a long time. They've kept getting bigger. They've expanded. They're also in San Antonio. They have an office there. They have an office here. And what SiteJab does is they look to basically take your website, what it is that you're doing. Forget what your website is now. What they do is take who you are as a company and maybe who you are as a person as well, because it may be one and the same, and then really shine a light on what that company does, what you do, what you have done for other people. They'll take all the work that you have, your portfolio of work, and they can put it on display through video or, you know, picture format. They can create e-commerce. They make it an interactive billboard for consumers who go to your site to really get everything is that you offer, whether you're a restaurant or pipe fitters or I don't care what you do. And then they make it easy for people to interact. And once they're interacting with you, you got a chance to turn those eyes into business very, very quickly to convert them. And their analytics help people stay on your site longer and get the information they need faster. Go to sitejab.com. That's SiteJab.com. And let them punch up your website, sitejab.com.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, the number if you'd like to get in here to hang out with us. 713-780-3776 to hang out with us and talk. You're going to talk about the Open? You can. It's wide open for us here. I know everybody wants to talk about golf right now. It's just amazing. It just really is amazing. Look at Kirk Kitayama finished second at the Scottish last week, qualified for the British this week or the Open this week because he finished second, and he's four under.
Why would you want to watch this? There's so many foreigners in this.
What do you mean? Why are
foreigners in this golf championship?
It's a foreign tournament. It's not ours.
Yeah, but why are there so many foreigners in it?
Well, we're the foreigners there.
We're Americans.
No, we're not
the foreigners.
We're actually the foreigners there.
We're the Americans. So what are the foreigners doing? There's British people. There's Scottish people. There's Irish people. I saw a South African in there.
Yeah.
Where are the Americans? Why is this such a foreigner?
He just got to Edinburgh. Your boy, Chris Solis, mm-hmm. He's headed to St. Andrews tomorrow.
Oh, he's going tomorrow. Okay.
He's in Edinburgh.
I know he was going there.
Edinburgh.
Tried to go to Wimbledon. And it's like, I'm sorry, how much is it to get in a center court? No, thanks. Although he did go and watched doubles. He watched Coco Gauff. Like, Chris watched. He went to Wimbledon and watched. He was on. He got a field pass where he was able to go into the stands and go watch like a doubles tournament, mixed doubles.
Yeah.
So he's living his best life. No kids. And they're like, yeah, this year I'm going to go and we're going to go do Wimbledon and we'll do the Open Championship. And he's like every.
He's got his worker bees back here still making money.
And every like next year's going to be, I think I'm going with him next year to the Kentucky Derby. He's going to hit about every bucket list thing he can think of. So
he's in Edinburgh right now. I'm asking, are you in a pub watching? That's awesome.
Stop having an out loud text message with, well, are you watching in a pub? That's awesome.
Are you in a pub watching? Yes. I mean, that can't be better in Edinburgh. He's in Scotland right now.
So we have not for an hour and 30 minutes, I think, we have not talked about the Astros.
And that's wrong.
It is wrong. We have got to get to it again.
So I'm done with them.
Well, here's the thing.
We didn't talk about the fact that
Jordan is going to be out a determined amount of time, which is good. The Hammett Bone, chitter chatter from a website had everyone scared. So we'll see what happens with Jordan. But with no Jordan, they got worked yesterday. Four hits, one run. Shohei Ohtani, who is a phenomenal pitcher, as well as is he better as a pitcher or hitter?
That's a good question.
The answer everyone's going to give is hitter, but I'm not sure about that. And that's not to take anything away from him as a hitter, but his hitting numbers are good this year. They're not, his power's phenomenal, but his pitching is really good.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that, if you want to know the truth. Would you rather have him at the plate? In a critical situation, or would you rather have him on the mound in a big game?
That's a good question. He's got 19 home runs this year, 56 RBIs. His OPS this year is .841, which is actually down 124 points from last year's .965. It's funny. Shohei Ohtani, how many years has he been with the Angels?
This is four or five.
Yeah, it's his fifth year. Does it seem like he's been there 5 years?
Yeah.
It does seem like that around, to you?
But now he just came into his own last year. I mean, he just exploded last year.
Yeah. He's got a rookie of the year. He's got an MVP under his belt. But here's the big question from a pitching standpoint, and it's funny, his baseball reference page goes on a little deeper, obviously. But this year, he is, as a pitcher, he is... what's his win loss? He's 9-4. Last year he was 9-2. This year he's 9-4 with a .238. Last year he was .318. This year he's already .238. 64 hits per in 87 innings. His strikeout total is 123 in 87 innings pitch. So his strikeout per nine is now 12.7. That's really good. That's Astros good. So he's 12.7 strikeouts per nine inning. Hits per nine inning is 6.8. His whip is below one. His whip is .989. Now, he's not going to win a Cy Young this year. I say that. But he is on pace for, you know, I mean, he's tracking for the potential. It's a bit of a long shot to get to 20 wins. But it would not be outrageous for him to end up with 17 wins, an ERA of 2.4, and a whip that's below, you know, for his strikeout total to be in the 240 to 250 range, and his whip number to be below 1.0. Like, you're going to have to start having conversations about him as a Cy Young candidate sooner rather than later. He would be the only player in the history ever, past or future, to ever win Rookie of the Year, MVP as a hitter.
Pitchers have won MVPs before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will he be the only person that's ever won Rookie of the Year, MVP, and Cy Young? Maybe not.
Yeah. No, he wouldn't be.
That has happened before?
Yeah, because when you win if you're a pitcher, you win the MVP, you win the Cy Young, too.
Right, but have they won Rookie of the Year?
I don't know. That's a good question. Listen, it's between Verlander, McClanahan, and Shohei. As far as Cy Young goes, right now,
Justin Verlander, he was Rookie of the Year in 06, Cy Young, and MVP. Mm-hmm. Wait, was he an MVP though? He did win the MVP, but Justin Verlander is after his 2006 Rookie of the Year campaign and 2011 Cy Young and MVP season. The consistent, durable Verlander finishes the Cy Young runner-up three times before capturing the award a second time as a 36-year-old. So there you have it. Also, Don Newcomb. So it's actually been done twice. Don Newcomb did it, and Justin Verlander did it. So sorry, Shohei. Big deal.
Yeah,
nobody cares.
It's just another
Who cares
day.
Anyway? You're just another guy.
So this is your Astros segment talking about Shohei Ohtani?
You watched the game?
I did. It was all Shohei.
It was the Shohei.
It was the Shohei show.
And you want to talk Christian Javier? Christian Javier, for the second game in a row, struggled to get into. He didn't finish the fourth inning. He got to high 90s in pitches. He had three walks. He did not.
Does this change things as far as Astros thinking, especially when McCullers comes back? Does this change anything?
Well, maybe when McCullers comes back,
have a seven-man rotation.
Do you have the update on the timetable?
No.
No, now when McCullers, Jake Odorizzi ain't bumping Christian Javier. Lance McCullers is.
Yeah.
If Christian were pitching like he was before, this is two in a row. This next game for Christian Javier is a monster.
Yeah.
It's really, really big. Now, he is striking people out at an incredible rate. He had 10 more yesterday.
But you know what? That's a quality that you really like in the bullpen.
Yeah, that's fine in the bullpen, too. Yeah. But I think
long
term.
Not fine in the bullpen. That's awesome.
Long term.
Chances are you're coming in with runners on base.
Well, here's the thing.
You want a strikeout guy.
Long term, he's either a starter or he's a closer. That's it. You're going to strike out that much. You don't want him being Ryan Stanek like, oh, every once in a while. If he's going to be pitching like that, if you can't get through 3 2/3 innings,
you're
not going to be a starter.
No, but I want him in leverage situations. Stanek is not a strikeout guy. Stanek is going to put the ball in
play.
Which
is crazy.
When guys,
because he throws 100.
Yeah.
And he's not a strikeout guy.
But they put the ball in play on him. When there's guys on base and he comes into the game, I'd much rather have Javier.
But that ain't changing this year. Dusty's not changing that. Dusty doesn't change anything this year. Christian Javier will have to go to his... Well, we'll just go to him when we go. We'll go to him after Maton. Mate.
No.
What are you talking about,
Dusty?
He
matches up with Odorizzi. When Odorizzi pitches four innings, Christian Javier is on the mound for the other four.
Well,
that's
how about
what Dusty does.
You mean Odorizzi's the opener?
Odorizzi's the opener. You know who...
it's actually not bad.
No, it's not bad. Listen, we got to talk some basketball as well. How about Hoops Sporting Goals? Let's talk about that. Hoops. ProDunkHoops.com. ProDunkHoops.com. ProDunkHoops.com has been around forever. Keith Tate has been doing this forever. Keith Tate does it better than everybody. There is no better basket in the history of baskets than the ProDunk Hoop. It is spectacular. I owned one. I saw it last week, as a matter of fact. The one that I bought, I don't know, was it 20 years ago or so? And it looks like it's brand new today. That's how awesome it is. That's how awesome the ProDunk Hoop is. It doesn't rust. The stanchion is tremendous. The basket doesn't break. It's a guarantee win for you. Tempered glass backboard that is just perfect. You raise and lower the goal so the kids enjoy it. There's nothing better than the Pro Dunk Hoop, period, exclamation point. I loved my Pro Dunk Hoop. The boy loved it. He was out there all the time with it. The kids are out in the driveway. We knew where they were. It's fantastic. You're looking for a great goal for your family. Your wife will love it, too, because it looks great. She doesn't want something that looks all shungat out there. She wants the Pro Dunk Hoop. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
The Godfather of Houston Sports Radio. The preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm telling you, I'm already looking forward to a week from today. You know what a week from today is?
A week from today, it's not All-Star. What is it?
It's the Yankees doubleheader here.
Okay. Yeah, that's when Jordan's supposed to be back as the Yankees series.
Hopefully. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Well, that's the plan.
That doubleheader. Then you go to Seattle, which we know how difficult that is.
An impossible win.
At Seattle, at Oakland.
I'm hoping you just avoid a sweep by Seattle.
I'm hoping so, too. Then you got Seattle for 4 here.
They were feisty against the Astros last series.
Seattle for 4 here. Boston for 3 here. At Cleveland, Texas, Oakland. At Chicago, at Atlanta, Minnesota here. Are you interested in Minnesota coming here?
Yeah. Carlito.
Oh. It'll be fun.
Yeah, everyone give him a standing ovation. It'll be good.
He will get a standing ovation.
100%. Carlos has got love here.
Yeah.
George has love. Carlos has love. Did you see, speaking of George, did you see the this was shocking to me. The Kansas City Royals have 11 unvaccinated players.
Yeah.
They can't travel
to Toronto. Right.
They had to bring up 9 minor leaguers.
Did you already put a little something on that?
There's no odds.
Oh, they won't put it out there. No,
that's not. No, not.
I saw 10 guys. You saw 11?
I saw 11. I thought this morning.
I saw 10.
Maybe it was 10. I saw they called up 9 minor leaguers.
That is so. I mean, and guys are like, you know, and that's so stupid, Canada.
Yeah, you're right. 10. 10 unvaxxed players. It is a little weird that they're still doing that, but Canada...
Well, how about Djokovic can't play in the U.S. Open?
Yeah, that's now... Okay, so what is...
Visiting players that come in from other teams, they can play...
No. What's the rule on that? Because remember, Kyrie's back to being able to play in New York.
Right.
That I thought that was lifted.
No idea. No
so
idea
Djokovic
why.
Djokovic can't play at the U.S.
Apparently
Open.
Apparently in tennis or whatever, that's still the man. I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't get it. And still in Toronto, I know. Listen though, Fauci's back now. Did you see that? Fauci's back because of the outbreak that we've had again. It's a much milder strain.
Actually, I know you got it. Paul Gallant got it.
I know a lot of people that have gotten it.
A lot more people have gotten another version. I don't really want it, honestly, but
yeah.
I don't wear a mask, but I've taken all my shots and boosters. No, I guess I could get a second booster, but I haven't because I already know I get sick when I get
it. I would go right back to Vegas tomorrow. I'm with 400 different people at different tables.
Well, yeah, you're dirty, and that's why you got it. That's why you got it because you're a dirty person.
No, I'm not a dirty person. You're with other dirty people. What? What are you talking about, dirty person? I'm okay. Listen, I'm okay with touching the cards, the chips, and everything.
Okay,
I'm at the card table. I'm at the table. People are coughing into their hands. This is what. And then they just, and then pick up their cards and look at them, like the same hand. And it's like, should I say something? Nah. Oh well, I'll just get the stuff. I'll get the money. I'll just catch it.
What would happen? You would have said something.
What am I going to say? Hey, can you not cough into your
hand?
What
would you say? Can you not cough?
Well, you cough into your shoulder.
Big deal. You're still getting it. You know how contagious this stuff is.
Yeah.
You just get it.
If you look at somebody, they're going to give it to you. Yeah. No. I get it. But it just, listen, if you're at a card table or whatever, Don't cough into your hand and then shake hands with everyone. Don't do that. Cough into your shirt, into your shoulder.
Why are you shaking hands with anybody?
I don't know, shaking hands with anyone. Mark wants to talk about the NFL. Let's get him in here. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Love the show. Listen every day.
Thanks, pal.
Hey, I called back in around the draft time. I'm a big Steelers fan, and when they draft Kenny Pickett, I was the guy that called in contemplating suicide. And there's been a lot of reports coming out of Steelers camp and throughout the summer that Trubisky's beating him out for the starting job. And I just wanted to ask Lance if he's heard anything on just the dumpster fire that Kenny Pickett has been so far. It hasn't been too much time, but there's just been a lot of negative reports that he doesn't look good. He's not on the same wavelength with any of the receivers. He's just making a lot of mistakes, and Trubisky looks great. So just wanted to hear from Lance if he's heard anything.
No, I just heard that. No, not from the Steelers, but I heard the same thing you did, that Trubisky looks better than Pickett. Frankly, it's not a huge surprise.
It's not a surprise to me. He was a big favorite, wasn't he?
I mean, Kenny Pickett was a one-year guy.
Yeah.
A really good year at Pittsburgh. But
Trubisky has actually played decently.
Well, Trubisky is, he knows how to be a pro. I mean, Trubisky knows. Trubisky's not going to be nervous out on the field. Trubisky's not going to, you know, have issues with timing of certain routes. I mean, he's gone through it all. He's seen it all. He may have some physical limitation or some, I mean, he actually didn't have a lot of physical limitations, but Trubisky has seen it all, so nothing is new to him. Everything's new to Kenny Pickett. An NFL locker room with it where everyone's older than him, that's going to be new. An NFL meeting room with other professionals is new. Having coaches coach him a certain way will be new. The way that they go about their practice schedule will be new. I would not worry about Pickett right now, about dumpster fire or any of that stuff. This is normal for a young quarterback. Now, so you won't know anything this year. Matt Corral is running third. Desmond Ridder supposedly is getting beaten out badly by Marcus Mariota. That came out as well. This is all to be expected. They're not even talking about Malik Willis. All of this is to be expected. All of it. Kenny Pickett may not end up being a good quarterback. However, you're definitely not going to know in OTAs and mini camps. Like, he hasn't even made it into camp. We're not even in August yet, early August or late July. So I wouldn't panic yet. There's plenty of time to panic, and maybe you will panic at some point. But right now is not the time, man. You got to give this guy a chance. You really do. You got to give him a chance. And beyond just this year, you have to give him a chance.
Yeah, I don't foresee him beating up Mitch Trubisky. There's a chance he starts next year, but he's going to sit just – none of these guys are Trevor Lawrence. None of these guys are, you know, high picks that are that you're building your organization around. Kenny Pickett, quite frankly, if he turns out to be a flop, oh well. What'd we waste on him? 15th pick? What was he?
Kenny Pickett was 20th.
20th? Yeah. I mean, you took a shot. Listen, it's the most important position in all the sports. You took a shot.
Yeah, but
it's not like you wasted the second pick on him.
Now, you got to let him develop. Here's what I would tell you about Kenny Pickett. He sees ghosts. He's nervous in the pocket. His internal clock makes him flip out a little bit. Those are all poises of concern for you. The ability to throw with accuracy and anticipation, he's pretty good at both, especially anticipation. He's really good at that. But all that stuff is irrelevant until he's comfortable with the new speed. ACC defenses are not showing Kenny Pickett speed in the secondary that we'll see in the NFL. He's going to have to deal with faster secondaries, faster decision-making, different route combinations, a new offense, and brand new players around him. I mean, you really cannot pass judgment on him in July. That's just not going to happen. You made a comment to me, by the way. When we come back, I want to mention – well, actually, when we come back, we're going to be talking analytics because, you know me, I'm a numbers guy.
Yeah.
And another numbers guy, Seth Walder from ESPN, he heads up their analytics department. We're going to visit with him and talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of analytics through media and football and how it's impacting the NFL right now.
On the other side, right now, though, analytically speaking, the best place to buy your Ford car or truck is at Chastang Ford. Order it now. Order it the way you want it. Don't order it now. And that's, you know, this whole thing has been really stinky as far as not being able to get a car. They're not on the lots right now. My Expedition was on the lot, and I love my Expedition. It's awesome. It's one of the best cars I've ever owned. The problem with it is I didn't need a sunroof, but it came with the package. Well, I don't have to do that anymore. When I order my F-150 Lightning, I'm going to get it exactly as I want, and I'm not going to get a sunroof. I never use a sunroof. I just don't. So I'm not going to get the sunroof on it. I'm going to get a bed liner, and I'm going to get leather seats, and I'm going to get all of the other stuff that I want to get in my vehicle, but I get to choose. I get to pick. And you know what? What Chastain Ford's not going to do? Say, hey, how about getting this? Hey, how about this? Why don't we add this on? They don't do that. They don't mark it up. They don't add on. I'm going to order it. And, oh, by the way, July 18th, you can start ordering your F-150s. Not the Lightning, but you can order your F-150 from Chastain Ford. So if you're looking for whatever car or truck, you got everything else that you can get online or at the dealership right now. ChastainFord.com. Or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. You're looking for that Ford car, truck, or pre-owned vehicle, Chastain Ford.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.